Let's turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, considering your adversary. 5 about humility. Humility is the opposite of the devil's state of mind, his attitude is pride. So it follows that we should learn about the devil. And it also follows on the basis of this letter as a whole, because we've learned a lot about suffering, especially in light of persecution. And where does persecution really come from? That's what this passage is about, verses 8 and 9. Listen carefully. This is God's holy word. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The precious word of the living and the true God. Many of you are aware of the way in which rage has been demonstrated in the city of Philadelphia in the past 24 hours. It's not only rage, however, there's something else happening. There's a lack of focus concerning the issue. It has begun to change. And I bring that up because I think it's important for us to see that when the devil is our adversary, a lot of these things can happen in our midst. It's possible for us to fall asleep, to be not on our guard, and to recognize that something that is happening it's happening in general, but not to really see the source of it, not to really see how these things are occurring. And so having written about persecution in this letter, the Holy Spirit now directs our attention to the source of that persecution, the one who rages, and it is the devil. And his rage, you see, has to do with the persecution that we read about in verse 9. These afflictions that are being accomplished in our brothers and sisters around the world. Those who are under affliction because of the persecution that is stirred up by the devil. That is the roaring of the devil. It is the roaring of the devil as a lion. This image is only used in this particular place in Scripture. But it's not a new image. It's an image that's used in various ways in the Bible, which we will see in just a minute. But I want us to see things clearly, because this verse actually helps us, these verses help us to see things clearly. We are called upon to be sober, that is, to have minds that are focused on that which is ultimately real. The trendy word these days is to be woke. This verse is calling upon you to be woke, but not in the way that society around defines being woke. To be woke, to be awakened to the spiritual reality that is the centerpiece of all opposition against God and against God's people. We are called upon to see things as they are, which is the opposite of being drunk and dull-minded. We are called upon to be watchful, which is the opposite to be vigilant, to be alert, and to be watchful, which is the opposite of the way that things were for Peter. When Peter was denying Jesus Christ at his trial, Peter, the one who said that he would defend him to the death, at a time in which Satan attacked, became less than alert. He was dull-minded. He did not see things clearly. He did not see who the adversary was and who his shepherd was. And the Apostle Peter is well situated to bring us this word that comes from the Holy Spirit, that we might see our true adversary, that we might recognize him, that we might resist him. Because the Word of God is telling us the way forward. Make no mistake, this is a war for your soul. It is a war for your soul, and the devil is your adversary. The word adversary has to do with an opponent in a courtroom. That's the language here. He is opposing you. He can no longer oppose you in the heavenly courtroom because Revelation 12 tells us that he's been defeated there. No more accusations admitted. And yet the devil is still your adversary. He's at war against you. And be assured, it's personal. It's quite personal. The devil in Greek is your one particular adversary. This is the one who causes persecution to happen. This is the one that, in his subtleness, tried to take on Jesus Christ. You remember that time when Jesus is being tempted in the desert? And the devil uses Psalm 91 to try to get Jesus to do something as the Messiah that would show his resting on his own powers rather than resting on the living God. He put God to the test. Of course, the Lord Jesus did not do that. The devil is subtle in the Word of God. He is crafty in the garden, and he seeks to deceive people. He seeks to entrap them by their dependence on their idols, or their dependence on other people. And yet here he roars. Why is he roaring? Why is the devil roaring now rather than trying to sneak up on us? Well, he's roaring because he's in line with a number of the enemies of God in the scriptures, where this language of a lion is used. He's roaring to seek to intimidate his victims. And you and I are sometimes tempted in our society to deny the existence of the devil. But the opposite extreme is to cower before him. And you're being told that you ought to do neither. You ought not deny the existence of the devil because he is all too real. And you are not to cower before him. Because we've just been told that we can cast all of our cares on the one who cares for us. He's the one who gives us strength. He's the one who enables us when we are attacked, even by this roaring lion. You know, the Lord Jesus on the cross had this experience. We were just singing from Psalm 22. Listen to what is declared in the middle of that psalm. Psalm 22 in verses 12 and 13. As bulls and a lion are combined. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Be assured that when you face the roar of the lion that the Lord Jesus Christ has faced it before you. He faced it right there on the cross, the roaring of the lion, trying to take out his prey. You see, persecutors in the Old Testament were often referred to in terms of a lion. Proverbs 28, verse 15 says it this way. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over poor people. A wicked ruler over poor people. A roaring lion. The kind of persecution that was being experienced by believers as they lived in the time in which 1 Peter was written. The lion is also referred to as a tyrant in Jeremiah 4, verse 7. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. The tyrant. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. The tyrant is the lion, is the persecutor. And lions roar for their prey. We find this in Psalm 104, verse 21. It's the way that lions try to cause their prey to be paralyzed as they pounce upon it. That's what a lion does. That's part of the reason for the lion's roar. It's a statement of victory in order to paralyze the prey. And if you don't think the devil is trying to do that, then maybe 1 Peter would be a letter to read once again. The lion represents wicked men in certain parts of the Bible. In Psalm 7, the Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. Persecution, desiring to tear our soul like a lion. That's what the devil is after. He desires to treat us like prey. And he desires to roar, to make us tremble, forgetting the very immediately previous verse. Casting all your care upon God, for he cares for you. I need not fear. The one who was a type of Jesus Christ, David, but he was a shepherd, encountered lions. And he slew them. And he told Goliath what he had done. You know the Lord Jesus is able to slay the lion, don't you? You know that even when the Lord Jesus is on the cross and he's calling out that the devil is, that the wicked men are like roaring lions. Behind that's the devil. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in that position for you and for me to enable us to be in this situation. Well, in Psalm 10, the lion is mentioned as lying in secret. Psalm 17, verse 9. But you might be thinking to yourself, well, I thought that the devil is a serpent. Or I've seen some pictures of the devil. He has a pitchfork. He has horns. He doesn't look like a lion. If we know church history, we find out that there was actually a time in history in the Middle Ages when knowing that the devil's motivation was pride, people actually began to draw out pictures of the devil in order to try to humiliate him. And that's where the kinds of images that we see around us come from. But we need to pay attention to the Word of God. We need to see that when this unique phrase is used, this unique title for the devil just here in the New Testament is given to us, that we need to see this lion roaring as being behind all persecution of the church. Anything that the devil would use to try to make us tremble is the roar of this lion. What is he seeking to do? Well, he's seeking to treat you as prey, but look at what it says. Be sober, be vigilant, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Make no mistake, the devil wants to devour you. It's the same word that's used in the Greek Old Testament in Jonah 1:17, where we read that the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The devil wants to swallow you up, but not your physical body. He wants to swallow up your faith. That's what the devil wants to swallow up. This persecution is his roar, which we see in the next verse, verse 9. But we also see that which he cannot swallow up. That's which he's seeking to devour, but he cannot swallow up. You see, the devil can't get what he's after. He wants to swallow up your faith, but he can't have it because you have the equipment of the Word of God. As verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. See, that's what the devil is trying to swallow up. He's trying to swallow up your faith. But you are able to resist. And this is a great encouragement of this passage in the Word of God. You are able to resist steadfast in your faith. Why are you able to resist? How is it that the devil can't swallow up your faith, treat you like prey, and steal your faith? Because you know something. As verse 9 tells us, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing what? That the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. First of all, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ faced this roar. He faced the persecution of wicked men. To the very end, the Lord Jesus Christ faced it when he was on the cross. That's what Psalm 22 verses 12 and 13 are all about. That's the Lord Jesus Christ taking your place so that you might resist firm in your faith. You have the knowledge as you face this one. You have knowledge that will ensure that you're not found asleep when the lion comes after you, that you're not less than sharp and self-controlled, because you have been equipped. You have been equipped through this knowledge. You might think that your greatest danger from the devil, the greatest thing that makes him go after you, is your fear. I mean, after all, isn't that what a lion likes to do? Isn't that what the devil would like to do? Go after those who are afraid. And you might feel helpless before such a strong foe. A roaring lion that is represented in the Old Testament as being wicked rulers and persecutors and tyrants. Now we learn it's the devil himself who took upon the Lord, who took the Lord Jesus Christ on in his time of weakness. But the Bible in verse 9 tells us that we have such great privileges that we can resist the devil. This isn't the only place where the Bible says that. It also is declared for us in the book of James. But I want us to realize that this is both the greatest resource that we have, and also, if we fail to do it, the greatest threat. You see, the greatest threat that you have is not that the devil will overpower you, paralyze you, and take you when you're afraid. The greatest danger that you have is that you won't resist. That you won't resist. That you will think maybe the devil doesn't exist. Or maybe he's too big for me, so I need to just wait. But the Bible's telling us to actively resist. And you have this privilege to actively resist the devil. Now, how do we do that? Well, we've already seen the answer in verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, that is, objectively speaking, the faith in which we stand, the Christian faith, knowing something, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You see, this is a great knowledge that we have. We are not alone when the devil takes us on. We are not simply individuals that the devil is trying to divide from one another and conquer. Our sufferings are similar to those that our brothers and sisters experience around the world. And God has a purpose for us in our sufferings. We find this, if we would read on as we're going to tonight, to verse 10, as we read, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, will make us perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Did you catch that? For a little while. It's for a limited time. It's for a limited time that the lion roars. And during this time, you have the privilege of knowing that you are together with other brothers and sisters in this battle. We are called in this battle together as God's people. You are not the only one who is being attacked and persecuted in this way. And you're certainly not the only one, because you're united to Jesus Christ. But we're given also this horizontal encouragement, if you will, that the same afflictions are accomplished in our brothers and sisters that are in the world. When you read a report of missionaries and churches in other countries that are being persecuted, being attacked for their Christian faith, you see there the knowledge that you need to resist so that the devil would not devour your faith, so that the devil would not take you away from trusting in the living God, to Jesus Christ. You see, this at the end of the day is what the devil seeks to do. And this is what he cannot do. He can roar. He can seek to devour your faith. But he cannot take you out, because you have, at every point, the means of resistance. You have the faith that's taught to you week by week, that's given to you in the Word of God, that's open to you in your family devotions, for your devotions as an individual in your household. And this body of faith is what will enable you to face the devil, to resist him, because you have this sure and certain knowledge. If that believer over in an Asian country has experienced the kind of persecution that I have only begun to taste in the United States, because there are pockets of the United States where worship has been drastically altered, where people have been denied the freedom of using the means of grace in particular ways. And yes, there's a virus. And we focus on that, right? Don't we? But do we see the spiritual reality that in all situations we are to be woke? We are to be sober, to be vigilant, because we have an adversary, the devil. And this adversary is in line with other persecutors who have persecuted believers throughout the history of redemption. He is the great lion who roars behind all of them. He desires to take out our faith, to drive a wedge between us and God, to cause us to believe that, well, maybe I can't trust my peers on God. Maybe he really isn't caring for me. And I'm under the attack of this lion. And so to fail to resist. But brothers and sisters, every time you read or hear an account of one who has continued to hold their faith steadfast in the midst of persecutions, you have the knowledge that you are not alone in this fight. And for the people to whom this letter was written, this was not an abstract thing that you would read about in a story and that you would see in a picture book. that you would see in maybe a coloring book. No, in the time in which believers lived, in this time, they actually saw that people went into a coliseum, and for entertainment, they watched lions attack people and kill them. And they watched and they heard testimony of believers who, to the very end of their life, kept their faith in Jesus Christ, resisting physical lions, resisting the devil who's a roaring lion, resisting because they stood firm in their faith, resisting because they were joined to other believers. Do you realize that every time you resist the devil, it's not only for your benefit, it's for the benefit of other believers in Jesus Christ. Every time that your faith stands steadfast in the midst of persecution, other believers are strengthened, and together we resist, because we are joined to Jesus Christ. You know, there was that time, and this is what we'll close with, when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in a way that is like the swallowing up of your faith. There was that attempt on the trust of Jesus Christ. For him, it was the trust in who he was, his identity as the Son of God. The devil asked him to do certain things to demonstrate that he was the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, he said, do this, do that. Provide for yourself. Test God. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, this all ramped up considerably. The devil attacked him. Luke 23, verses 35 to 37, and the people stood beholding. The rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. If he be the Christ. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. Two times, the same proposal is given before Jesus Christ. If you're the Christ, if you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. Prove it. When the Lord Jesus Christ resisted that question, he was resisting the roar of the devil, seeking to devour our faith. You see, he resisted for us. He continued to entrust himself to the one who judges justly. The Lord Jesus Christ resisted the devil in a time of great weakness, so that you and I might resist in solidarity, joined together with our brothers and sisters around the world. Read the stories, brothers and sisters who resist. Be encouraged. And then pass on that great encouragement to others by resisting this roaring lion, this persecutor yourself. Because you are joined to Jesus Christ, who did it for you and to enable you today to resist this devil.